Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Traynor, the Dean of Georgetown Law, and it's my honor and my pleasure to introduce this first set of FTC hearings on competition and consumer protection in the 21st century. And we at Georgetown Law are very pleased to be host of this event. And I think it's very fitting that we're here. Georgetown Law's connection to antitrust and consumer protection is longstanding and very deep. Dean Robert Petoskey served as Bureau Director, Commissioner, and then Chair of the FTC over his long and distinguished career. Numerous agency leaders have been graduates of Georgetown Law. Most recently, our current FTC Chair, Joe Simons, who will be hearing from shortly. Also, Commissioner nominee Christine Wilson, former DOJ Assistant Attorney General Christine Varney. So Monique Fortenberry, Deputy Executive Director of the FTC. We're very proud of having educated so many of the leaders of the FTC. And among our current faculty, David Vladek, who's at the end of our panel today, was Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection. Howard Schlansky was Director of the Bureau of Economics. Professor Steve Salop was both a senior official in the FTC's Bureau of Economics and a mentor to Chairman Simon and Christine Wilson. Actually, Chair and I were just talking about how his time at Georgetown Law had really prepared him in every way for the career that you had. So we're just very proud, and it's appropriate, and it's particularly appropriate, I think, because in some way these hearings are intended to follow the path that was set by the FTC's Global Competition and Innovation hearings, which were held in 1995 when Bob Petoskey was the FTC's chair. So we can look forward over the course of these hearings to a serious, insightful, and interesting set of discussion on some of the most pressing questions facing antitrust and consumer protection policy.
Now, don't take my thunder, okay?
Okay. Let me just kind of, don't expect too much until you hear from the chair who will bring up your expectations. The FTC will be continuing its hearings at locations across the country, and over the next several months it will be exploring new ideas and approaches to its historic statutory mission. And for those of you who want to hear more about the antitrust issues of the day, right here at Georgetown Law, our Global Antitrust Symposium, which is now in its 12th year and is one of the most prominent antitrust conferences outside of the ABA's spring meeting, will take place in this room in about 2 weeks. So thank you all for coming. I want to congratulate the FTC for its initiative and hard work in organizing these public hearings. And now I'd like to call to the podium the Director of Office of Policy Planning, Bilal Saeed.
Okay, I won't take long except to thank everybody for coming and tell people a little bit about what we'll do today. We'll turn to the chair in just a minute, but I just want to tell everybody this event is being webcast. The webcast will be posted to the FTC's website shortly after we conclude. The session is being transcribed, and the transcript will be posted quickly. Tomorrow's planned session has been canceled because of concern about the weather, but it will be rescheduled, and we'll make the effort to reschedule it here at Georgetown fairly quickly. My FTC colleagues will be passing out question cards. If members of the audience have questions that they'd like to put to the panel, they should write them on the card and raise their hand, and we'll come collect them. We have an open comment process, and so we encourage people to continue to comment. That comment process will be open through probably the end of February. But we encourage people to comment on what they hear today, both what is presented and what is discussed. And then all presentations made here will be posted on the website. And as I noted, the transcript of the session will be posted. So I'd say with that, I'll turn it over to the chairman, and he'll kick us off to get started.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bilal. Good morning, everyone, and welcome.
Good morning.
On behalf of all of us at the Federal Trade Commission, I want to thank you for coming to the opening of our hearings on competition and consumer protection in the 21st century. Our goal is to make these hearings as informative, insightful, and consequential as possible, covering some of the most important competition and consumer protection policy and enforcement issues of the day. We believe that we are situated to do just that. These hearings, as has been discussed already, are modeled on the ones that were held back in 1995 by then-Chairman Bob Patofsky, who in his opening remarks said at the time, "These hearings are designed to restore the tradition of linking law enforcement with a continuing review of economic conditions to ensure that the laws make sense in light of contemporary competitive conditions. We intend to continue that same tradition with these hearings. We are very fortunate to have a large group of highly respected participants representing a diverse range of views, including academics, practitioners, enforcement officials, and representatives from public interest groups. And I am proud that we are opening the hearings at Georgetown University Law Center, where Chairman Patofsky spent much of his career when he was not otherwise at the FTC, and where I received my initial antitrust education to a significant extent from Professor Patofsky. So today I want to talk about why the Commission is holding these hearings. Almost 30 years ago, I came to the FTC the first of my three times. At the tail end of the Commission's adoption of a significantly revised approach to antitrust enforcement. This change, which began in 1981 and was implemented to a large extent by Tim Muris, who is two or three people to my left here, reflected new learning that had begun to influence Supreme Court antitrust doctrine. It was primarily driven by the scholarship of academics, the most prominent, Phil Arita, Don Turner, Frank Easterbrook, Richard Posner, and Robert Bork were associated with either Harvard University or the University of Chicago. They applied microeconomic principles to antitrust questions and paid attention to empirical work, which led them to conclude that a lot of the pre-1970s antitrust case law was inconsistent with rational, pro-competitive, and economically beneficial behavior. By the time I left the agency for the first time in 1989, application of microeconomic principles and economic models was routine and encouraged. Notwithstanding some initial criticism, the Clinton administration's antitrust leadership, including Bob Patofsky, Ann Bingaman, and Joel Klein, largely adhered to these same principles. So when I returned to the Commission as director of the Bureau of Competition in 2001, there was substantial support for and acceptance of the antitrust reforms that had been initiated 20 or so years prior. In other words, there was a general consensus on how we ought to think about antitrust enforcement and policy. But now, at the beginning of my third stint at the Commission, things have shifted. The broad antitrust consensus that has existed within the antitrust community in a relatively stable form for about 25 years is being challenged in at least two ways. First, some recent economic literature concludes that the U.S. economy has grown more concentrated and less competitive over the last 20 to 30 years, which happens to correlate with the timing of the change to a less enforcement-oriented antitrust policy beginning in the early 1980s. These concerns merit serious attention, and they will be part of today's discussion. Second, some are debating the very nature of antitrust itself, calling for antitrust enforcers to take account of policy goals beyond consumer welfare. Inequality, labor issues, excessive political power are perhaps the main examples. We will discuss some of these suggestions during later sessions. These concerns raise a challenge to antitrust agency leadership, the courts, and legislators to think hard about whether significant adjustments to antitrust doctrine, enforcement decisions, and law would be beneficial to our country in order to accommodate these concerns. As I noted in announcing the hearings, it is important that the antitrust enforcement agencies be at the forefront in thinking about these issues, not bystanders to this debate. To that end, today and continuing through the fall and the early winter, we have invited interested parties to discuss these issues, both through public comment and public sessions, with us and each other. We do this with the goal of understanding whether our current enforcement and policies are on the right track or on the wrong track, and if they are on the wrong track, what should we do to improve them? I approach all of these issues with a very open mind, very much willing to be influenced by what I see and hear at these hearings. I am old enough to have witnessed in my own career dramatic changes in antitrust policy and enforcement. These changes have largely been driven by developments within the economic community, which were then adopted by the legal community. The movement by economists, however, has not always been in the same direction. In the 1950s and 60s, a substantial body of empirical economic work purported to show significant antitrust effects, anti-competitive effects, at relatively low levels of concentration. In 1968, the DOJ issued merger guidelines based on these studies. But just about the time the guidelines were issued, the economic studies on which they were based were being substantially discredited. As a result, the agencies over time raised the concentration levels at which mergers were seen as problematic. A more recent example, where developments in economics increased the level of successful merger enforcement, involves hospitals. In the 1990s, the government lost a large number of hospital merger cases in a row, and the agencies considered whether to give up on hospital merger enforcement. Fortunately, we did not. Instead, we engaged in empirical economic studies that demonstrated the anti-competitive effects of hospital mergers, and we revitalized our hospital merger enforcement program. So the developments in economics can suggest, depending on the circumstances, that our enforcement has either been too aggressive or too lax. This episode involving hospital merger enforcement really drove this point home for me personally. The use of economics should not be thought of as a one-way ratchet, only driving down the level of antitrust enforcement. Good economics might point us toward more or less enforcement, depending on the facts and the analysis in front of us at the time. In my view, basing antitrust policy and enforcement decisions on an ideological viewpoint, whether from the left or from the right, is a mistake. Whether or not we expand antitrust beyond the consumer welfare standard, I would rather make policy and enforcement decisions based on the best evidence and analysis, including in particular empirically grounded economic analysis that enables the analyst to weigh the costs and benefits broadly defined to help determine the best approach. My hope is that these hearings will significantly improve our ability to do so and help to bring about a new and improved consensus among our antitrust stakeholders. But we are not focused solely on competition issues today or throughout the hearings. The strength and direction of the agency's consumer protection mission is also something that we are going to explore at some length at these hearings. Today, our most significant and difficult consumer protection issues often revolve around the use and abuse of technological capabilities not likely imagined during Bob Potofsky's chairmanship. As a result, we will be having multiple sessions on data security issues, and our upcoming hearings on platforms, big data, and artificial intelligence will address consumer protection issues, including privacy, as well as competition issues. Before closing, I want to thank not only the participants in these sessions, but the many groups and individuals who have filed comments in response to our initial hearings notice. We have received over 500 non-duplicative comments, many of very substantial length and thoughtfulness. We are reading them and considering them carefully. We expect more comments as we proceed, and I encourage those interested to comment on what you hear today and throughout the hearings. I also want to thank our co-sponsor and host, the team at Georgetown University Law Center, for helping us pull this initial effort together. I also want to recognize the staff of the FTC for their efforts in both preparing for the substance of this event and undertaking all the logistics to bring this together. I and all the commissioners are grateful for the work of so many people, both within the FTC and outside the FTC, who are engaged in making this a successful effort. Thank you for attending, and I hope you enjoy the hearings.